"Hello, Hermione," said Mrs. Weasley, much more stiffly than usual. "Hello," said Hermione, her smile faltering at the cold expression on Mrs. Weasley's face. Harry looked between them, then said, "Mrs. Weasley, you didn't believe that rubbish Rita Skeeter wrote in Witch Weekly, did you? Because Hermione's not my girlfriend." "Oh," said Mrs. Weasley, "no, of course I didn't." But she became considerably warmer towards Hermione after that. Harry, Bill, and Mrs. Weasley whiled away the afternoon with a long walk around the castle, and then returned to the great hall for the evening feast. Ludo Bagman and Cornelius Fudge had joined the staff table now. Bagman looked quite cheerful, but Cornelius Fudge, who was sitting next to Madame Maxime, looked stern and was not talking. Madame Maxime was concentrating on her plate, and Harry thought her eyes looked red. Hagrid kept glancing along the table at her. There were more courses than usual, but Harry, who was starting to feel really nervous now, didn't eat much. As the enchanted ceiling overhead began to fade from blue to a dusky purple, Dumbledore rose to his feet at the staff table, and silence fell.
"Ladies and gentlemen, in 5 minutes' time I will be asking you to make your way down to the Quidditch pitch for the third and last task of the Tri-Wizard Tournament. Will the champions please follow Mr. Bagman down to the stadium now?"
Harry got up. The Gryffindors all along the table were applauding him. The Weasleys and Hermione all wished him good luck, and he headed off out of the great hall with Cedric, Fleur, and Crumb.
"Feeling all right, Harry?"
Bagman asked as they went down the stone steps into the grounds.
"Confident?"
"I'm okay," said Harry. It was sort of true. He was nervous, but he kept running over all the hexes and spells he had been practicing in his mind as they walked, and the knowledge that he could remember them all made him feel better. They walked onto the Quidditch pitch, which was now completely unrecognizable. A 20-foot-high hedge ran all the way around the edge of it. There was a gap right in front of them, the entrance to the vast maze. The passage beyond it looked dark and creepy. 5 minutes later, the stands had begun to fill. The air was full of excited voices and the rumbling of feet as the hundreds of students filed into their seats. The sky was a deep, clear blue now, and the first stars were starting to appear. Hagrid, Professor Moody, Professor McGonagall, and Professor Flitwick came walking into the stadium and approached Bagman and the champions. They were wearing large, red, luminous stars on their hats, all except Hagrid, who had his on the back of his moleskin waistcoat.
"We're going to be patrolling the outside of the maze," said Professor McGonagall to the champions. "If you get into difficulty and wish to be rescued, send red sparks into the air, and one of us will come and get you. Do you understand?"
The champions nodded.
"Off you go, then," said Bagman brightly to the four patrollers.
"Good luck, Harry," Hagrid whispered, and the four of them walked away in different directions to station themselves around the maze.
Bagman now pointed his wand at his throat, muttered, "Sonorous," and his magically magnified voice echoed into the stands.
"Ladies and gentlemen, the third and final task of the Triwizard Tournament is about to begin. Let me remind you how the points currently stand. Tied in first place on 85 points each, Mr. Cedric Diggory and Mr. Harry Potter, both of Hogwarts School."
The cheers and applause sent birds from the Forbidden Forest fluttering into the darkening sky.
"In second place on 80 points, Mr. Victor Crumb of Durmstrang Institute."
More applause.
"And in third place, Miss Fleur Delacour of Beauxbatons Academy."
Harry could just make out Mrs. Weasley, Bill, Ron, and Hermione applauding Fleur politely halfway up the stands. He waved up at them, and they waved back, beaming at him.
"So, on my whistle, Harry and Cedric," said Bagman. 3, 2, 1.
He gave a short blast on his whistle, and Harry and Cedric hurried forwards into the maze. The towering hedges cast black shadows across the path, and, whether because they were so tall and thick, or because they had been enchanted, the sound of the surrounding crowd was silenced the moment they entered the maze. Harry felt almost as though he was under water again. He pulled out his wand, muttered, "Lumos," and heard Cedric do the same just behind him. After about 50 yards they reached a fork. They looked at each other. "See you," Harry said, and he took the left one, while Cedric took the right.